Please turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. As we continue our study on the life of Elijah and Elisha. And the topic for consideration today is loyal to the end. And yes, from the title you can see that we are going to talk about loyalty. And yet loyalty is something that does not seem to be valued in the world. And why so? Well, because it is the tendency of men to be selfish, to think of oneself, and not to seek the Lord. And so therefore, when it comes to our dealings with men, when it comes to our dealings with institutions, we often place loyalty aside. We do not value loyalty. And so, when there is a course of action that may seem to benefit us, even though it is something that is contrary to the Holy Scriptures, even though it is something that is evil, even though it is something that is wicked, even though it may betray the trust of the people who have so cared for us, we will be most willing to turn against them. And you can see that happening all around us, isn't it? Don't even need to look far. Sometimes in the family, you will also not find such a loyalty. In the family, you expect members to love and to care for one another. And yet, how often do we read in the newspaper of family members betraying one another and doing harm to one another? There seems to be no loyalty. What more can we expect when it comes to workplaces? And sadly, sometimes even in the church, there is no true biblical loyalty. That when the time comes where we feel that there is advantage to be gained for ourselves, whereby we may look good before others, and that we may gain some form of benefit from betraying our brethren, we will also do it. It is far more common than you think. But what you see down here in this passage is a very, very good illustration, a very, very good testimony of what biblical loyalty ought to be. For down here, you would find Elisha. And down here, Elisha, right, in the beginning of 2 Kings chapter 2, was the servant to Elijah. And in this particular chapter, you will find that the baton, or perhaps a better word to use in this chapter, would be the mantle, right, of Elijah would be handed over to Elisha. In other words, very soon, the head prophet would no longer be Elijah, but the head prophet would now be Elisha. And Elisha was aware of it. How would Elisha respond? Would Elisha be loyal to the very end? Or would now Elisha go his own way? Well, what you will find down here in this particular passage is Elisha being a loyal disciple all the way to the very end. And why was he a loyal disciple all the way to the very end? Well, because he understood what is the basis of this loyalty. Firstly, when we talk about biblical loyalty, please understand that we are talking about a loyalty to a right person or to a right institution, and not to something that is evil and wicked. This is firstly very important, because sometimes when we talk about loyalty, we may be loyal, but we may be loyal to what? We may be loyal to something that is evil and wicked. We follow the wrong person. This person does not love the Lord, or this person is not the authority which God has placed over your life, but we follow these people because we admire them or because of some benefit, or we follow a wrong institution, an institution that does not love the Lord, an institution which God has not set above us, or we follow this institution and we are so loyal to these institutions, when it is not God's will for us, right, to be under them. Then that is the wrong kind of loyalty. But with regards to Elisha and Elijah, this was clearly the will of God. And we have seen that particular passage already, right? Remember 1 Kings chapter 19? Well, after Elijah plead to the Lord that he wanted his life to be taken, wanted his ministry upon this earth to end, the Lord says, no, you go according to, you go in my grace, you go in my power. When the time comes, yes, somebody will indeed take over the prophetic ministry which I have given to you as the head prophet, as the first among equals. And even from that very early stage, the Lord has shown Elijah very clearly that this person was to be Elisha. And what did Elijah do? Well, Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. And Elisha, even from that day, knew very well his calling. One day, I would be the one to take over the mantle of Elijah. And he immediately followed the call of God. He became the disciple of Elijah. Even though he knew his calling, yes, I'm going to take over Elijah, he did not straight away say, oh, now I am going to be the head prophet, and so therefore, Elijah, come down from your office, come down, now I take over. No, he did not do so. He immediately submitted to learning under this man of God, and following all the way until the time comes in 2 Kings chapter 2. For how many years? Well, those who study the chronology, often will say it's about 7 to 9 years, around that period of time. So 7 to 9 years following Elijah, leaving his previous life behind. And his previous life behind was considered quite a comfortable life because he was born to a rich family. Remember that he was tending 12 yoke of oxen before Elijah came to talk to him. Elisha was tending a 12 yoke of oxen before Elijah came to talk to him. But he left that world behind. Follow humbly. Follow submissively. Follow devotionally follow devotionally a man of God. So take note. He was following a right person, not a wrong person. A right person and one which the Lord has clearly indicated that he should follow. So firstly, make sure when we talk about loyalty, before we even talk about this passage, you must first understand that when we talk about biblical loyalty, it must always be following the right person, the right institution, following the right authority which the Lord has set upon in your life. Following the one which God has appointed to be over you in your life, according to his will, that person you follow. And understand that with regards to Elijah and Elisha, it was perhaps from a world sense, a very strange master and servant relationship, a teacher-disciple relationship. Why? Don't forget Elijah, was called Elijah the Tishbite. Came from a town, a village that was very insignificant. Elijah was not a rich man. And here was Elisha, who was from a rich family. He was not a person that need to be concerned with his food, with his provision, a different kind of life from Elijah, and yet he was very willing to submit to the call of God to follow Elijah. This man, somebody who is supposedly, in the eyes of society, lower in strata than him. But he followed. And he was a loyal servant to Elijah all the way, right, for this 7 to 9 years, until 2 Kings chapter 2. And of course, along the way, this loyalty of Elisha will be put to the test. Just like how often our loyalty to certain individuals which God has set over in our life will be put to the test. And the question will then be, will Elijah pass that test? Well, we do not know what has transpired from 1 Kings chapter 19 to 2 Kings chapter 2. It seemed that Elijah, or rather Elisha, would have been a faithful disciple. But then, now that he has traveled with Elijah all these years, what about the end? The end is always important, right? Do not just begin well and then end badly. Will Elisha prove, have his loyalty proven at the end? And so now his loyalty will be put to the test by Elijah. Is his loyalty one that endures? Is his loyalty one that is true? Or is it just some loyalty of this 7 to 9 years just because he wants an advantage? So now, right, Elijah would test Elisha. And so watch how Elijah would test Elisha first from verses 1 to 8. How this loyalty would be tested. A tested loyalty. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now take note, this Gilgal is not the Gilgal that you will read in the book of Joshua. There are two Gilgals in Israel, just like when you talk about Bethlehem, there are two Bethlehems. Right? There's one Bethlehem in the north, there's one Bethlehem in the south. And that's why when it came to the prophecy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the scripture was very precise to tell us that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, to tell us that it would be the Bethlehem in the south. Now this Gilgal that you see down here is not the Gilgal that Joshua and the children of Israel encamped after they crossed over the river Jordan. Okay, that would be the Gilgal at the south. This will be the Gilgal at the north. How do we know this? Right, because the Bible here says in verse 2 that after they were at Gilgal, Elijah would tell Elisha, I would want to go to battle. And the scripture says what? They went down to battle. Right, so this is a clue. They went down. Went down meaning from a high place, go down to a lower place. Now, if they had been at Gilgal, that is at the river Jordan, they would have been at low ground. Going up to battle will be up, not down. And when you look at the scriptures, they are very precise with this. Going up and going down. That is why when you read about people going for their holy pilgrimage, in the scriptures, you always read the pilgrims as going up to Jerusalem. Because that will be the general geography. They will be climbing up the slopes of the hills, all the way to the top, where the temple is, and then there they will worship the Lord. And after they finish worshipping the Lord, the scripture will say that they would come down from Jerusalem. So in this case, here is the clue. They are going down from Gilgal. So this is not the Gilgal at the south, this will be the Gilgal in Ephraim. Please take note. Okay? And here, at this Gilgal, where there is a school of prophets, Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to battle, or Bethel, right? The house of God, right? That's the meaning of the word battle. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to battle. Right? So Elijah tested Elisha. You know that this day I'm going to go. What for you want to follow me? This is the last day already. Elisha, You have followed me all these years. Why not just remain behind and just let me go? Let me go until the Lord would take me home. What was Elijah's reaction to, or rather, what was Elisha's reaction to Elijah's words? He said, "No, I would not leave you. I would want to follow you all the way. As long as the Lord liveth, and as long as you are still living. My call is to be your disciple. And so long as you are not taken up, this call to be your disciple remains. And I will be loyal to that particular calling." And that particular calling is, I have to submit to you as your disciple, to follow you, just as how you have followed the Lord. And so long as you are following the Lord, right, that's the key, so long as Elijah was following the Lord. Now, of course, if Elijah was not following the Lord, if Elijah was doing something that was contrary to the Holy Scriptures, contrary to the truth, then should Elisha follow Elijah? No, of course not. He would have to rebuke Elijah, he would have to follow the Lord. Just like, for example, those of you who are children, who are you called to follow? You have to follow, you have to submit, you have to honor your parents. You have to be loyal to them. Now, if your parents ask you to do something that is wrong according to the Holy Scriptures, you, of course, you cannot follow. Right? That is against the truth. But in all other circumstances, if your parents ask you to obey them, you have to obey them in the Lord. That is your loyalty to them. And you have to be loyal to them even until the end. Please understand that. Even when they're old. Later on, next time you grow up, you become, you get married, and then they become older, you will still have to honor them. Please understand this. You are still loyal to them. So long as whatever they do, whatever they say, is not contrary to the Holy Scriptures, you will have to do your part as a good son and your good daughter to your mother and father. Please understand this. And so now, this loyalty put to the test. Was Elijah following the Lord? Yes, even unto this very time he was following the Lord. The Lord has called him to go to Bethel, the house of God. He is heeding the Lord's direction to go to Bethel. Should Elisha follow? Sure, he must follow. He cannot neglect his master. He was called to be the disciple to follow the master. And this must be the case all the way until the very last moment. And so therefore, he passed the first test. He went down with Elijah unto Bethel. And this place, Bethel, there was clearly a school of prophets down there. And this place, Bethel, is a significant place in the history of Israel. This was the place, firstly, where Abraham made an altar unto the Lord. That was the place whereby the Lord revealed to him his covenant concerning Israel. That will also be the place where later Jacob would witness in a vision, right, the ladder that extended all the way to heaven, and he would say, he would proclaim, well, this is indeed the house of God. Sadly, in this particular time where Elijah and Elisha were ministering, it was a time of great spiritual declension. There was already the golden calf that has been placed in Bethel. And so, great apostasy in a place that ironically is called the house of God. And that would exactly be the thing which Elisha would have to contend with. And so please take note of the various places in which Elijah would bring Elisha to. They will be significant. They will hold significant spiritual lessons from Elisha. If he had missed any steps, he would have missed these spiritual lessons that are contained in the various places in which he was supposed to visit. So take note of this. All these spiritual lessons, they are going to be very important later on for Elisha in his ministry as the head prophet. Here, it would remind him of how Israel ought to be a spiritual witness unto the Lord. Israel was supposed to be the place whereby the house of God is dwelling, but look at what is happening to Israel. It has now become a place of apostasy. Elisha, you are ministering in such time of apostasy, just like how your master has ministered earlier on. Do not forget that. Now there were the sons of prophets that were at battle. They now come forth to Elisha, and they say unto him, so another test, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it, hold your peace. So you can see from down here, the kind of affections that Elisha really had for his master. He did not abandon his master. At the same time, he was also very, very sensitive right, to the words that were spoken to him. Now, for the prophets to come and to say these words to him, know ye that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today, right, to him at this juncture was not exactly a very appropriate time to do so. Right? In fact, it was quite rude to discuss all these things on the very day in which Elisha would be taken up. And so Elisha was very conscious of this. And here he says, yes, I know it. Please, this matter, keep it to yourself. Do not mention it anymore. But with regards to my master, I will follow him all the way. That is exactly what he did. Elijah now said to him, Elisha, tarry here. Now, sometimes you pass the first test, right? Will you pass the second test? Second test exactly of the same nature. Will you pass it? Right? Some may pass the first test, some may pass the second test. But after that, when you come to the third test, the fourth test, they may just change their mind. It's just like, for example, you tell the person, hey, follow me, don't want. Follow me, don't want. Follow me. Okay, lah, I follow you, right? Sometimes it's like this, right? So, the resolve of Elisha to follow all the way, now being tested by exactly the same words, same question by Elijah. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So he passed the second test. And this time, they came to the place that is called Jericho. Now, Jericho was the very first city which Joshua would conquer during the conquest of the Promised Land. And this will be the place whereby it will be wholly devoted unto destruction unto the Lord. And the whole concept behind it is that of first fruits. Whatever the Lord has given to you, the first fruits of it ought to be devoted unto the Lord. Teaching us that whatsoever we have, all cometh from God. Whatsoever success we have in our life is also all due to Him. And this will be a very important lesson also for Elisha in his ministry for the Lord. To know that whatever things that have happened in the prophetic ministry, whatever success that he may have, everything is all due to God. And it is to God in which he must look to for strength and for help. And so therefore, now to Jericho. And over there, at Jericho, the sons of the prophets said the same thing to him. Don't you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And again, he responded in the same way, consistent, resolute, in following his master all the way, to be loyal to him, without even saying anything bad against him, even on the final day itself. No betrayal. Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And finally, the third test came. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Same answer. And this time round, they went on. How wonderful, isn't it? That here you have the very example of a person who was determined to be loyal unto the end. He was tested. His loyalty was tested. His loyalty was not a soft loyalty. His loyalty was not a marshmallow kind of loyalty. His loyalty was one that was strong in the Lord. And why so? Because he understood his calling. He understood why the Lord has called him to follow Elijah. His loyalty was not based upon any carnal criterion, whether it is because of an advantage to be held or whether it is because I can become popular by following Elijah. None of those things. His loyalty was simply because he loved Jehovah. He loved the truth. He loved God. And that must be the very basis for our loyalty also to anyone, isn't it? If your loyalty is based upon carnal things, if your loyalty is only based upon selfish reasons, then very soon, when all these reasons are gone, you will not be loyal to that particular person anymore, isn't it? Is that not true? Right? Once upon a time, you probably will work in a company, and this company that you work in was able to provide you with all the perks of life, able to give you promotion, able to give you all the rich things. And you know that the Lord has called you into this particular place that you serve, and so long as you receive all these perks, you are very happy. Then suddenly, one day, recession comes. And then this whole company now goes through difficult times. The Lord has indicated that this is still the place where He wants you to stay, but now your heart flutters and you want to leave that company. Why? Because now the company no longer able to provide you with all your promotional prospects, no longer able to give you all the perks of life. Suddenly, the austerity package kicks in. And now you say, I want to leave. Is that the reasoning behind why you want to leave the company? Then you better check. You better check whether or not your heart is really right before the Lord. Now, it could be, of course, during such times that the Lord may indicate that it's time to leave, then you follow the Lord. But if the Lord has not indicated that it's time for you to leave, and you still want to leave, and the reason behind it is everything that is carnal. I have been at this company long enough, now no longer any promotional prospects. Now, life is bad, recession times, and so therefore I have to find a company that can shelter me better, and during this time of recession, there's this company that is somehow doing better, I better hop to this other company. You better examine your heart if you think that way. There can only be one reason if you go from one company to another company. And that particular reason must be the Lord has indicated very clearly that now your time in this company is up. You have to go to the other company. And this is the other company where He wants you to be a witness. And how, therefore, will you know it? Well, you better go on your knees and therefore pray. Ask the Lord by His Spirit to lead you. That's the only way you can know. Ask the Spirit of the Lord to lead you. You be honest before the Lord with regards to all these things. Because if for any other reason, it's going to be wrong. And you have just become somebody that is not loyal. Not loyal to that company, at the same time not loyal to the Lord. Because your criteria for staying loyal to that company, that loyalty is not a true biblical spiritual loyalty. That loyalty is what? It's based upon carnal criteria, and so therefore when put to the test, you fail. And what more, if you talk about serving in the ministry of the word, you talk about serving in the ministry of the Lord, in the church. When it seems that times are good, you want to stay. When it seems that times are bad, you want to go. That cannot be. Understand all these things. Loyalty put to the test, how thankful we are that with regards to Elisha, he passed the test. With regards to his teacher, he was willing to be the student all the way until his teacher was taken up. I hope that this will also be the kind of loyalty which our young people have towards the Sunday school teachers, and not only the Sunday school teachers, but also to our teachers in our life. Loyal student all the way. If you are called to be a student of that teacher, that person who is the teacher is a teacher all the way in your life. So long as the teacher follows the word of God, doesn't betray the Lord, that person is a teacher. Later on, you grow up, you may even become somebody in office that is higher than your teacher. Right? So some of you young men here, you study under your teacher, Sunday school teacher. Now this person is Sunday school teacher. Next time, the Lord helps you to grow up spiritually, and then you become an office bearer in the church. Let's say you become a deacon, you become an elder. You better still regard this particular person who is your teacher as your teacher. It's a teacher for life. Don't you dare think that now because you are an elder, you are a deacon, and so therefore I can disregard this person who used to teach me before. That is not called loyalty. You are loyal to the end. Teacher for life. Always remember. So long as that person is faithfully following the Lord. Look at Elisha. Learn from this example. He passed the test, and now he will cross over the Jordan. And as he crossed over that Jordan, there will be this stupendous miracle that was done. And it was a miracle in which Elijah would perform very deliberately. Look at verse 6, right? Look at verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrap it together, and smoke the waters. Right. So take note of the repeated use of the conjunction, and this tells us that Elijah was very deliberate in doing this miracle. He knew what he was doing. And of course, he was directed by the Lord. And when he did so, the waters were divided hither and thither, And so they too went over on dry ground. This miracle clearly is to demonstrate that Elijah, right, that the reason why Elijah was able to perform in the prophetic ministry was because the God of Israel was behind him. The same God which divided the waters of the river, of the Red Sea, the same God which divided the waters of the river Jordan during the time of Joshua, is the same God that was with Elijah all throughout this ministry. And it's also this same God which now divided the waters of Jordan. Elisha must remember that. The 50 men of the school of the prophets, of the son of the prophets, must also remember this. And so now they pass. And then another test will come. And this test would reveal what is the basis of Elisha's loyalty. Elijah will now ask Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Sounds like a blank check, isn't it? You can ask anything that you want, and if it's possible for me to do, I will do it, right, just before I'm taken away. So what then would Elijah ask? As what then would Elisha ask? So many things he could ask, isn't it? Perhaps he could ask for more comfort. Perhaps he could ask for the material things of the world. But look at what he asked from Elijah. And that would reveal the heart of this man. He said, he asked, he requested, "I pray thee." And this phrase, "I pray thee," can also be rendered as "please." Right? You realize how polite he was, even towards the end of Elijah's stay here upon this earth. Very polite, very respectful. "Please," it's not "give me," right? "Ask what you want." And he did not just say, "Give me this." "Ask what you want." He says, "Please." Very courteous, very polite, very respectful. "Please give me a portion of, a double portion of thy spirit." Give me a double portion of thy spirit. "Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Now, here the allusion is definitely towards one of the laws that you can find in the book of Deuteronomy, and that would be the law of the firstborn. Now, what is the law of the firstborn? The law of the firstborn talks about how the firstborn of the family would be given a double portion of the inheritance. Right, so let's say you have two sons, right? Then the one who is the elder son will get 2/3, right? Then the other son will get 1/3, right? Double portion, right? So what Elisha therefore is saying down here is, well, he's claiming to be his spiritual son, and of course the spiritual elder son. And also, now that Elijah is going to be taken up, I want to have that inheritance that a firstborn can claim. Now, obviously, what Elisha is asking here is not to do with any physical inheritance. And that he makes it clear by saying, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." And so, therefore, what is Elisha asking? Elisha is simply asking this: "I have seen how you have conducted yourself in the prophetic ministry as the head prophet all these years. And now that the time has come for you to go unto the Lord, what I am asking is that very same spirit in which you are abiding in. I want to follow in that same spirit, that very same grace which you have experienced from the Lord, which helped you through the entire prophetic ministry. I would also desire to have that grace. I want to follow in that same footsteps. I want to follow in that same spirit. And so therefore, I need that same help from the Lord to help me through, to accomplish what the Lord has called me to do." That is exactly what Elisha is asking. And so you will realize that even at the end of Elisha's stay upon the earth, Elijah's stay upon the earth, Elisha's request towards Elijah was one that was girded not in carnal desires, not in the things of this world, not in worldly philosophy. It was girded with us upon the Holy Scriptures. It was girded in God's will. It was girded based upon spiritual truths, based upon a spiritual mind, based upon a spiritual thinking. And so therefore, this second point that we have down here, right, in these verses will be, when you talk about a loyalty that endures, not only is it a tested loyalty, it's also a spiritual loyalty. What do we mean by spiritual loyalty? It's loyalty that is based, that is founded upon a spiritual mindset. Founded upon the word of God. Founded upon spiritual words. That's the key. That's the key. And so therefore, when the time came for Elisha to ask from Elijah this request, he was able to make that right request. What he was asking simply is grace to continue in the same footsteps as his master. And of course, he has every right to ask that. It was a good request. Why? Because his master walked faithfully while he was ministering in the prophetic ministry. And so therefore, what Elisha is asking from Elijah is this: just as how you have followed the Lord, I am also asking for grace to follow the Lord. Plain and simple. Spiritual mind. And so therefore, if you truly want to be a person who is full of biblical loyalty in your life, then the first thing that you must cultivate in your life is what? A spiritual mind. And the only way you can cultivate a spiritual mind is if you know the Word of God well. And that when you study the Word of God, right, you read the Word of God, you read it with a heart of devotion, you read it with a heart of love, and praying that as you read the Holy Scripture, that the Lord will also grant you that right kind of spirit, the right kind of love for His truth. To follow the Lord all the way. And as you follow the Lord all the way, naturally when it comes to the people in your life, which the Lord has demanded that you should be loyal to them, you will also be loyal to them. And that loyalty will be based upon the truth. Not upon anything else. Not upon any advantage. Because if it's based upon any advantage, remember, once the advantage is taken away, will you be loyal to that person? No, you will be willing to give up on that person, even though if the person is following the Lord. The person wants to follow the truth, you realize that if you follow that person, you will face a life of persecution, you will face a life of harm, you will still give up that particular person, because now if I follow that person, I will die. You won't want to follow him. But if your loyalty is based upon what the Lord has called you to do, your loyalty is based upon God's word. Your loyalty is not based upon any relationship upon this world, not based upon any carnal things, not upon worldly philosophy. When the time comes where you have to stand with that particular person whom the Lord has called you to be over you in your life, you will do so. You will do so. And that is why sometimes when the Lord places us through trials and tribulations, these are very good things to have in life, because they are very instructive to reveal what is actually in our heart. When these trials and tribulations come our way, so for example, when the time came when FEBC had to stand for the Word of God, when this crisis happened, how people react would really reveal like what goes behind your thinking, isn't it? Certain crises may happen, perhaps next time even in Tabernacle. Then how people react, whether they are loyal to those that follow the Lord, will really reveal their heart. Whether their heart is girded in spiritual truths, whether their mind is a spiritual mind. If your mind is not a spiritual mind, then when the time comes where you need to be loyal to the right people, not loyal to the wrong people, loyal to the right people, you will then be able to be loyal to the right people by the grace of God. But if your mind is not a spiritual mind, the very first sign of trouble, you run. Or perhaps the very first opportunity whereby you can take advantage of the situation. Sometimes it's not only trouble, whereby you can take advantage of the situation to enrich yourself, you will also exploit it. Because later on, as we study the life of Elisha, you will realize that Elisha will have another disciple. And that disciple would then take advantage of the situation to sell out the ministry in order to enrich himself. And he even had the guts to use the name of his master. Now, that is the wrong kind of loyalty. That is not a spiritual loyalty at all. Please understand this. How we thank the Lord that here, Elisha, he had a spiritual mind. And so therefore, he made the right request. I want a double portion of that spirit to be upon me. In other words, I want to follow in that same footsteps. I want to be strong in that grace which has helped you through the entire prophetic ministry. And that very mantle, which I know now the time has come for me to take it, I want the grace to be able to do so. And so, Elijah said unto him, thou hast asked a hard thing. Now, why is it a hard thing? Interestingly, the word hard down here is the strongest term for hard that you can find, right? Hardness that you can find in the Hebrew scriptures. So you can even render it as, thou hast asked an extremely hard thing or almost impossible thing. Now, why is it an almost impossible thing? Some would say that it's because Elijah had no power of himself, right, to give that to Elisha, and that is true, because all the power that Elijah had in his ministry cometh from who? Cometh from God. And that is surely one of the things that is implied down here. You have asked for a hard thing. This thing, I cannot give it to you. This thing, only God can give to you. Another way to understand this passage would be, this is also a hard thing because you have just basically asked to walk in the footsteps which I have walked in, to abide in the same kind of spirit as I have abided in. If you really choose to walk in the same footsteps, please be aware, Elisha, that your ministry will soon be full of trials and tribulations and difficulties. The same difficulties which you see your master has gone through, you will need to walk in that same footsteps. And the only one that can see you through all these things, therefore, is the Lord. And so, therefore, what Elijah said is, therefore, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So, did Elisha see Elijah being taken up? Watch. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So please take note, right? Elijah went up not by the chariots of fire. Elijah went up by what? By the whirlwind. Okay, the chariots of fire came down, the chariots of fire parted, and then the whirlwind, right, caused Elijah to go up to heaven. Now, whether the chariots of fire followed Elijah up to heaven, we don't know, right? What we know down here is what? The chariots came down, right? The chariots of fire would represent what? The heavenly host of God. And the heavenly host of God who were with Elijah, who was with him as he fought all the spiritual battles for the Lord, representing the power of God that was behind Elijah. Now, the time came, the host of the Lord came down, separating Elijah and Elisha, and then Elijah was taken up. So Elisha saw Elijah being taken up. So this was the sign, right, that the mantle had truly passed on. And you look how Elisha responded to this sight. Even at the end, even when Elisha was gone, his response was, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. He did not just say, very good, now Elijah is gone, so now I, Elisha, I am the head prophet. And then he began the ministry. No. His first reaction was to mourn over Elijah being taken away. Mourn over this faithful servant who has been such a blessing in his ministry to Israel being taken away. And he mourned it, and he said, my father, clearly viewing himself genuinely, sincerely as his spiritual son, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now the chariot in those days can be regarded as the tanks of today, right? The most powerful weapon that you can have around. And so basically what Elisha was saying is, this Elijah who has been taken up, he was the power behind Israel. He was the strength behind Israel. Now, of course, we know that Elijah had no power behind himself. What Elisha was saying is that this was a servant of God whom the Lord has used, whom has empowered, and could have been such a blessing to Israel, such that he can be viewed as the strength of Israel. Now he is gone. Now he is gone. So Elisha, he rent his clothes. In sorrow, he rent them in two pieces. But after that, he knew that the ministry of the Lord must go on. So he took up the mantle. Like, he did not leave the mantle away. He took up the mantle, because the mantle would represent what? The prophetic ministry. and especially the being the head prophets among all the prophets. He took up that mantle. And then he went, he stood by the bank of Jordan, and then he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now, this was not said in doubt. This was said because of the significance of what he is going to perform. For indeed, if the prophetic ministry of Elijah has now fallen upon Elisha, then that very same God that was behind Elijah's prophetic ministry would also be with him. And so he is now basically proclaiming, "Lord, are you therefore going to be with me in the prophetic ministry? I cannot perform this ministry without you. And so therefore, please vindicate it. Please vindicate it. When I take this mantle and I strike it upon the ground, upon the waters, let the waters part to show that that very same ministry which Elijah had has now been passed to me. And that very same God which was behind Elijah will now be with me." And indeed, that miracle happened, as exactly what had happened before in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. And so Elisha now walked across, knowing full well that the ministry for him now, as the leader, has begun. And this loyalty, biblical loyalty, which he had, right, in Elijah, right, following him all the way, was now vindicated, was now proven, right, proven to be right, right. He followed the right man. And this further vindication was also seen by the sons of the prophets, right. They saw him coming. And they themselves say, "Well, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." But it's one thing to say, it's another thing to have it confirmed in their hearts immediately, right? And so therefore, straight away after they said that, they begin to have this request. "Hey, peradventure the Spirit of the Lord have taken Elijah somewhere and then cast him upon some mountain or upon some valley." Now, this is a very good indication that with regards to Elijah being taken up to heaven, did they see it? No, they did not see it. Right? Only Elisha saw it. It was meant for Elisha, that particular scene. Because he was the one that was called to be the head prophet. They were not, so they did not see it. But they did not know when Elisha told them, "E shall not send." And when he said that "E shall not send," he said with the same force as the Ten Commandments, "Do not go. Do not go. Don't send anyone there. Absolutely do not send." Did they listen? No, they did not listen. And so they urged him. They keep saying, "Please send, please send, please send," until he became ashamed. Until finally he said, "Well, send." And after 3 days of seeking, what did they find? They found nothing. It was exactly as what Elisha had proclaimed. Don't seek, because you have found nothing. The Lord established the word, right, of Elisha, making it very clear by now that indeed the spirit of Elijah was upon Elisha. And this was the one whom they would now have to follow. The loyalty, right, which Elisha has shown towards Elijah, now finally, at this very juncture, has now been proven. Has now been proven. And indeed, now he will begin that same prophetic ministry in the same footsteps of Elijah. But actually, when you talk about this loyalty to the end, please understand that it does not end here. In fact, this loyalty that he had towards Elijah can be seen, what? Not only from here, but you must take a look at the entire life of Elisha. Never forget that. Because now, yes, he is still following in the same footsteps of Elijah. Will he follow in the same spirit all the way throughout the prophetic ministry? He did! And that is the important thing. So not only in the presence of Elijah was he loyal to Elijah, but even in the absence of Elijah, he was loyal to Elijah. Follow in the same spirit. And that is exactly the kind of loyalty that we ought to have today. You are given a calling by the Lord. There are people who will be above you in the ministry, whether in the family, whether at the workplace, or whether in the church, would there be this biblical kind of loyalty? As long as they follow the Lord, you will be most willing to follow them. Not just in terms of to people, but let's say even towards an institution. We talk about even with regards to the BP faith. When we talk about the BP faith, and you look at history, you look and you have seen how the Lord has worked at history, and then you look at the various doctrines and the practices which all along has defined Bible Presbyterianism, and then you came, you have studied it, you know the theology behind it, right? It must not just be blind following, right? It must not just be a blind loyalty. That's what the passage has made clear down here. But you have studied it, you know the biblical basis behind it, you know that these are biblical practices, you know that these are biblical doctrines, then you must be also convicted in your heart to follow. And so long as the church in which the Lord has called you to remains loyal to the Lord, then you must be loyal to the church also. Is that not true? Of course, if the church has turned bad, then you have to pray very hard to see what to do. There may come a point of time where there is no choice, right? Because of the purity of the church, the purity of God's word, you will have to separate. But if the church is loyal to the truth, then all the more you must be loyal. Don't end up betraying and selling out the ministry of the Lord. Now, today we have a good example. Elisha did not sell out the ministry of the Lord. Later on, we will have one example in terms of the servant of Elisha who will sell out the ministry of the Lord. Don't ever do that. You must have a biblical loyalty to you, and it must be a loyalty that endures. You may be loyal in the past, there is no guarantee that you'll be loyal today. Only by the grace of God, and only if you understand, right, the right basis of this loyalty, would you then be able to be like Elisha, who was loyal all the way. His loyalty was tested, and his loyalty was proven, vindicated. And why was he able to be loyal all the way until the end? Because the loyalty was a spiritual loyalty, based upon God's word, based upon his wholehearted devotion unto Christ and his word. And that must be the kind of loyalty that we have. Will you have that kind of loyalty? That would be the question. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray, O Lord, that you will help us to learn from this passage what is the kind of Christian and biblical loyalty that we ought to have. May we, above all things, be wholly devoted unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So grant us the grace to follow as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.